today. That's November 5th. The entire exam is short answer, so this time no multiple choice or true false. Those of you who don't like those. The key words for today, watch the lecture, we're going to talk about the mutations, the causes of mutations, and the repairs for DNA. We talked about making DNA on Monday. You can see a lot of places for errors. We're going to talk a little bit about that today. These again are the keys that you need to focus on from the lecture material. I also put the RNA ones up here, which we won't talk about until Monday, but for those of you who will be studying this weekend, and this will be your primary time for study, those are the key focus points for the RNA lecture, which of course you have online. So it's basically three steps, initiation, elongation, termination, just briefly understand those. And then the processing of RNA goes through, again, three steps, capping, polyadenylation, and splicing. You don't need to know any details about those. Just know those are the three steps that we go through when we process hRNA and messenger RNA. So that's just a heads up for those of you who want. So the exam topics are pretty much everything since the second exam, which is all of our genetic material. Pyrimidine or purine, the purine is just a transition The other one is a transversion when you go from one that's completely different kind of base, a pyrimidine, to a purine, or a purine to a pyrimidine. When there is a point mutation in the DNA sequence that, of course, encodes for proteins, and you remember, think back when we talk about proteins, we talk about kind of the genetics of where we come from DNA to RNA, and we have codons, three-letter codons for amino acids, and the point mutations can be what we call either silent, missense, or nonsense. And basically, a silent point mutation is when the substitution occurs at the third position of the codon. And you remember that there's multiple codons for each amino acid. So if you have a problem at the third position, there's a pretty good chance that you'll still get the right codon. And that's why we call it silent. Because if the first two in the three-letter codon are right, it's pretty good that you will get a synonym, in other words, still get the right amino acid. So we call those silent mutations because generally they don't really hurt anything. Missense is when the base substitution generates a codon that specifies a different amino acid and hence, of course, then leads to a different protein. Because remember, the amino acid sequence, or what we call the primary structure, is basically the sequence of the protein. So if you just go ahead and put in a different amino acid, again looking at the case of sickle cell anemia and changing something that is acidic, hydrophilic, like glutamic acid to a valine, makes a really big difference in the protein's secondary and tertiary, and if it has a quaternary structure. So those are not too good. And then nonsense means when the base substitution results in one of the stop codons. And so that ultimately truncates or stops translation. And again, most likely leads to a non-functional protein. Of course, that kind of depends on where it comes. If it comes near the end, you could be all right. The protein might be all right. It might have at least some activity. But certainly if the stop codon comes early on, you will make a protein that is not even close to a functional protein. So again, these are point mutations that we're talking about here. And we have to think back again to the codons, which are the three-letter codes for the amino acids. You remember there's multiple ones for each amino acid. And usually, when you look at the multiples, they differ only at the third position in the codon, so that if you have a mistake in that third position, you're probably all right. When you substitute a different amino acid than the one it's supposed to be, not whether that's a missense, and nonsense is when it stops everything altogether. We can also have a mutation that is a deletion, and those are shown also in your picture there. Those are frame shifts. You can have a frame shift, which is a deletion. So basically, when one or more base pairs are left out, or left out of what we call deleted, then you're going to have problems when you go and start making the codons to read the amino acids. If one or two bases are deleted, then the translational frame is altered. You get a garbled message, so that when you go to read the codons, it doesn't work out. You get a non-functional protein. If the deletion is three or more bases, then the frame stays pretty much intact. However, you're probably missing maybe an amino acid or so, and usually you can get by with that. So you will have proteins in your body that aren't quite right, but still can be fully functional. So as we're reading along that template, sometimes something happens, and we get deletions as we move along the template. The insertions, again, can lead to frame shifts. So anything where you're taking in or putting out, you're not following the template exactly. You're shifting things, which of course is going to then alter the codon. And we're interested in the codons because that's how the DNA is going to pass along the message. Of what proteins we want to make. So again, you can insert things, different combinations, again, lead to various outcomes. Sometimes it cannot, it's not really serious. Sometimes you end up with a totally not functional protein. Causes why these things can happen. Of course, there's multiple places where you can have errors in replication. You can see by the whole process You have a slight open the DNA, you have to follow the template. There's a lot of activity going on there. Things can happen. The DNA, sometimes the DNA polymerase, one of them, incorporate non-complementary bases onto the daughter strand, and then during the next round of replication, that misincorporated base will lead to some sort of mutation. Pretty rare, because there's a lot of proofreading that goes on. And those exonucleases, which come from a table that we saw in the last lecture on Monday, that function as proofreaders, and generally they will recognize mismatched bases and fix it. And we're coming to how to fix itself. So that's errors in replication, usually fixed. Errors in DNA recombination. DNA can rearrange itself, so it's not having to completely start over. Synthesizing itself, it can rearrange itself by a variety of mechanisms, and occasionally that can lead to a mutation. There can be chemical damage to DNA, lots of chemotherapeutic drugs. Remember, interpolating agents were a type, basically a chemotherapeutic drug that could affect transcription by damaging or stopping transcription. So that, of course, damages or stops the process of making, transcribing DNA. Some are environmental, some are man-made. You remember antioxidants from the nutrient list we talked about. We talked about the fact that all of those active oxygen species can damage bases, damage DNA. So we take antioxidants to hopefully get rid of that very small percent of oxygen that's gone bad and become active oxygen species so that we don't get damage. Radiation can damage DNA, gamma rays, x-rays, even UV light. And you remember UV light generated free radicals. And once they're generated, of course, you can get damage to DNA. So there's pretty quite a few ways that we can damage DNA. DNA repair, basically three general mechanisms. The first one is called the mismatch repair. And that's when the DNA polymerase rarely, but sometimes incorporates an incorrect nucleotide. And usually the proofreading by the nuclease, exonuclease, will sometimes, usually it catches it, sometimes it fails to correct it. And it proofreads basically 3' to 5', that's how it edits. And those mismatches, along with any point mutations and insertions, deletions, are usually repaired by this mismatch repair mechanism. And for the mismatch repair mechanism to work, it has to be able to recognize or distinguish between the parental and the daughter strand, or the template of the daughter strand. And the daughter strand, of course, is where the replication error is. It assumes that the parental strand is correct. And methylation of a certain sequence of bases, and the sequence is GACC, occurs on both strands at the end of replication. And since it's semi-conservative, the new daughter strand is a little bit slower, so it remains unmethylated for a very short period of time as the replication process is kind of finishing up. And if that little tiny short piece of time between the end of replication and methylating that GATC in the daughter strand that allows this mechanism to kind of proofread and do repairs that need to be done. And there's a particular protein that actually recognizes the mismatch pairs. It's called MUTE-S. You have a picture here, again, you have parental strand and the daughter strand, and there's that moment of time when the methylation hasn't occurred on that specific base unit when it can go through and recognize things. And there's a number of proteins involved. MUTE-S is the recognizer. MUTE-L then binds to MUTE-S. And then another endonuclease, MUTE-H, actually recognizes the GAT sequence and binds. And so they basically all bind. And you can see in your picture there a little kind of cartoon example of them binding. And they unwind the strand and basically fix, or pull out the mismatch pair. And then the DNA polymerase seals the gap and also ligates and seals the little nicks from the repair. And so again, not important to really focus too much on the picture. You can if it helps you, but again, it's a way of repairing called mismatch repair, and things are recognized as the exonucleus, it's proof-free things from the 3 to 5 prime. They notice problems. The mute S can bind just before methylation of the daughter strand to where the problem is, and a couple of the proteins have to be there along with it. They all bind, they basically excise the bad fragment, and then you have the DNA polymerase, the SSB, and the ligase, which are all foreign replications, and come back on the scene and basically fill it in, hopefully correctly. So that's one way we can repair things. Nucleotide excision repair, and it has an abbreviation called NER. And there's a lot of proteins that we need for that, and you can see lots of abbreviations, XPA, XPF, not important to know those. It's so basically a complex, and it gets on the lesion or the bad part of the DNA, and it binds there, and it takes a 29 base pair sequence of DNA and basically unwinds it, and then the gap fills in. Again, you've got the DNA polymerase, the SSB, and the ligase, which fill in right where those proteins excise the piece. So it works pretty much. Doesn't work the same way, but the results are almost the same as the mismatch repair. And that is, it recognizes something's wrong, takes it out, DNA polymerase, the SSB protein, and the ligase can fill in correctly, so they take care of the problem. One other type of repair that we didn't list on the board, which is direct repair, and sometimes damage can be repaired by a specialized enzyme without having to go through excising the bad piece and then bring in the polymerase, the SSB, and the ligase again to fix it. And then the last important mechanism is called recombination repair. And recombination repair is a little different than NER and mismatch repair in that the cell basically replicates past the problem, the damage, and then can fix it later. And so basically what recombination repair is there is a set of proteins, again, that enable the polymerase to basically hop by the bad piece and continue going on. And then the complementary segment of parental strand will basically recombine to fill in the gap in the parental strand to fill in the nicks, again, are sealed by the DNA polymerase, the SSB protein, and the ligase. So basically, you can skip by, finish, come back, and do that piece. So that's another thing that the DNA does. When it finds something in its proofreading, it notices that there's an error. And remember that that's all noticed because of the complementarity, so we know what basis go with what basis.
Is the thing, are they being found in a medium or the leg?
Both.
Going back to the nerves, does it have the same mechanism as the last portion of the last strand?
Basically, the filling in, once we've excised whatever's wrong, is basically back to almost the exact same process that we saw in the lagging strand synthesis. So we have the DNA polymerase has got to come in there, the SSB protein, and then the ligase has to seal the nick. So basically, yes, it's like when we made the pieces in the lagging strand and put them together. So basically, it's closing up where we excise the mismatch piece that didn't fit. Regulation. DNA repair in mammals, which of course is what we're interested in, is regulated by a sensing mechanism that detects the DNA damage. There's a lot of proofreading that goes on and activates a protein called P53. You may have heard of that protein. P53 is the transcriptional regulatory factor that controls the expression of some gene products that affect cell cycling, DNA replication, and also DNA repair. There's a lot of research going on P53 protein. Some of the functions that they've figured out that it does is it stimulates the expression of genes encoding for some other proteins, a number of which are listed, the P21 and the GAAD45. But more importantly than that, well, they are trying to elucidate exactly how P53 works, but what they found is that a lack of P53 not being there is not good. And it seems, again from research, that about 50% of cancer cells, those cells that are not right, are lacking, or having mutated, in most cases, P53 gene. So something's wrong with their P53, not fully functional. So it's obviously got a big role in repairing damaged DNA. This picture, again, you don't need to spend a lot of time on it. It shows you a lot of the different proteins that P53 regulates. And so if P53 is mutated somehow and is not a fully functional protein, that has been shown to lead to a lot of cancer. So that's why, again, there's a lot going on in terms of research in that area with P53. Some of the diseases, and there are many, 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 that result in defects in DNA repair, so in other words, the mutation gets through. Of course, we know one is sickle cell anemia we saw. Xerodermia, derma, which is was just on TV not too long ago, one of those news programs, with extreme UV sensitivity, skin cancer. People who have xeroderma have some sort of NER repair mechanism defect. There's a couple, let's just look at the last one, hereditary non-polyposis colorectal cancer. They found that colorectal cancers that are not related directly to polyps have some kind of problem with the mismatch repair mechanism. So again, something, the DNA is not getting repaired, the proofreading is finding errors, but it is not repairing itself, which results in abnormalities, which can result in what we know a lot of different types of cancers, among other, of course, genetically inherited diseases. So a lot to transcribing DNA, a lot of errors that can happen, and most of them are repaired, as our immune system also gets rid of most foreign invaders. It also gets rid of a lot of proteins and things that are made that are not functional and not right. They're simply degraded. Sometimes that doesn't happen, and the resulting effect can be disease states such as cancers, etc. So that's pretty much on the DNA. We're going to talk a little bit about RNA. If you have more questions, we can do those now. Make sure you write down the RNA stuff if you're going to look at that this weekend, which of course suggested that you do. There's a few very old quizzes over here. People who haven't, I think, have not been here in a while. Rohisha at homework over here. This is the last day I'm going to throw these away, so if you don't want them, or your friends. So if you see your friends there, you can pick it up.